Now WNYC's Bob Henley on what must be Christmas in June for a New York, New Jersey political reporter. Crunch time for the New York City and New Jersey state budgets. And there is big news from either side of the Hudson today, including good news for thousands of New York City kids. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
So let's begin with the $68 billion New York City budget agreement. By all accounts, this was a budget that made almost everyone happy. How do they do that? I even read that lobbyists stood and applauded as it was announced, which in itself would be reason for skepticism. But why is everybody so happy?
Well, I think everyone except fiscal watchdogs like the Citizens Budget Commission, Chuck Brescher, I was on the phone with him on Sunday. This budget does rely, according to their calculations, anywhere between $2 and $2.5 billion in so-called one shots. Those are non-recurring revenue opportunities that are never will happen again that you use and apply towards operating budget. Those are recurring expenses like keeping the lights on and paying people's salaries. And so $1 billion was drawn down from the health care retiree trust fund that the mayor actually was the city council mayor in a real visionary move set that money aside even ahead of any requirement, but they're spending that down now. The $500 million from city time. And then of course the medallions, that's the other open question. The mayor has talked about selling some 2000 taxi medallions to expand city taxi service to the five boroughs. That may not materialize. If it doesn't materialize, that blows a $630 million hole in the budget.
So it's a very optimistic budget revenue projection, and on that optimistic projection, which may or may not last through the fiscal year, they added 1,000 teachers while other localities around the country are cutting teachers. The 20 fire companies slated for closure were saved, and perhaps most important, $150 million for child care and after-school programming was restored, and in fact, more was even added.
That's really big, and I should say that, you know, there's a certain kind of Groundhog Day nature to this story. We've done this a few years now, Brian. Fire companies are going to be closed, and it's automatically that they seem to be saved. There was a kind of political shift here. Historically, what's happened over Michael Bloomberg's tenure is daycare and after-school programs get cut, but when they get restored, they don't get the 100% restoration that you have with the fire companies, because let's be honest, single parents who are struggling and need child care don't have the oomph of the teachers union or the fire department union. So that's why we laugh about the 20 fire companies, because no one's closing right. those. So in essence, it marked a kind of shift where Quinn is kind of doing a pre-election budget in 2013 to show that the priorities will change under her. So you have the kind of hint of continuity with Mayor Bloomberg at her side, but also sending a message that the folks that are having trouble and are struggling will have a champion in hopefully Mayor Christine Quinn.
So she's trying to send both of those messages, including no tax hikes
exactly.
in this budget to close these holes, which makes me wonder if they thought they were going to have to eliminate daycare slots and after-school programs and these other things. Did the money just materialize because they made paper changes?
Well, here's the thing. There was, because of District Attorney Cy Vance Jr.'s great work, the city did realize a $150 million windfall when they went up against some banks that had violated the Iranian boycott that's supposed to be in place in terms of embargo. So that kind of
ING
went to the benefit.
Primarily.
And also to give the mayor and Mark Page credit, they found a way to shave some costs off of debt service. So they did find a way to do it. The problem here, the real anxiety, is that we are still very reliant on the international banking sector. And there's tremendous anxiety out there. It appears, depending on who you speak with, recovery is sputtering. We have downgrades of our major bank institutions, and we have a certain kind of anxiety where we really don't know where it's going. And the city is very sensitive to things like what happened in, what's happening in Europe. We can't say, oh, it's happening over in Europe. We have some 45,000 employees just in New York City who work for European banks, and they have some 8 million square feet of office space. So it's very much, connected. So if there's a problem anywhere in the world, we feel it here.
Okay, I'm looking at my Google Map directions, and it says, head west from City Hall, hop the path at World Trade Center, transfer at Newark Penn Station, get on the Northeast Corridor NJ Transit to Trenton,
right.
walk into the State Senate building, and there we have the legislature In Trenton, having passed a budget
right.
that Governor Christie is now going to pick apart.
Well, and that's the point. It's about $31.7 billion that the Assembly and Senate passed, democratically controlled. It reflects their priorities. Governor Christie's vowed to veto it because it doesn't include the 10% across-the-board income tax cut that he wanted to phase in over the next few years. Democrats think they're being a little cagey. They've set aside some $183 million that if the governor meets his very optimistic revenue targets, and that's one of the things we need to talk about, Governor Christie had actually projected, yes, in this Obama economy, a 7.4% increase in revenue for the state. So if that was
not
to material,
happening, right?
Well, so far, depending on who you talk to, there's anywhere between a $700 and $1.4 billion gap in the next 2 years in terms of that revenue. So Democrats were trying to be look like they were fiscally conservative, and it's an interesting Tai Chi, and at the same time, not being against the tax cut. So they put this money in reserve, which they say they will kick in for some form of as yet undescribed tax cut, depending on whether the governor meets his very optimistic revenue targets.
But isn't a central dispute now between the Democratic legislature and the Republican governor which taxes to cut? The Democrats want a property tax cut, and the or rules that will help lead localities to cut property taxes. Or Christie wants a 10% across the board income tax
right, boiled
cut,
down, right.
which would go more to wealthy New Jersey.
Well, I guess what he's looking at the fact that he thinks the state is really at this tipping point where it's starting to post some private sector jobs, and he needs to send a signal that the state has changed. On the other side, the Democrats make the argument, as you say, a 10% income tax cut would benefit the folks who have the most income. They realize the biggest windfall. Democrats are also retreading their millionaires tax because they believe that there's an awful lot of people in the state that have benefited from the Bush tax cuts and their continuation, and they want to try to balance the scale and redirect the proceeds from that into property tax relief. Now, one of the things that's going on that's not much talked about is we're in a situation in much of this country right now where there's reliance on property taxes, where property values are continuing to decline, remaining flat, while property taxes continue to grow. Property values are going down. Property taxes are going up.
Right.
And this is unsustainable. And Washington is ignoring it entirely.
Out of curiosity, we're talking about a New Jersey state budget of $32 billion. We were just discussing a New York City budget, one city, of more than twice that much, $68 billion. And they have about the same number of people. New Jersey has about 8 million residents, I think the number is. And New York City has about 8 million residents.
Right.
And yet New York City spends $68 billion in one fiscal year and the whole state of New Jersey, 32.
Folks, only on public radio would this question be asked. Let's unpack this a little bit because we also have the state.
And I'm proud of it.
Right. New York State has got like a $120 billion budget. And New Jersey, of course, has 566 municipalities and cities that, you know, Princeton's about to merge, the earth will shake, and it may go down to 565. But the bottom line is that costs money, and our school systems, that number, the state number, while it contributes some, 30%, 40%, I guess 30% to the local governments and local school districts, New Jersey primarily raises the lion's share of its money for its education very much locally. So it's not an apples-to-apples comparison.
Right. And, of course, New York City gets, what, $50 billion a year from the state of
New
York? Well,
I don't know. No, I think that that's actually – New York City is – and this is something we've talked about for years – New York City sends far more money both to the federal government and state government than it ever gets back. We are the economic engine for the world. And in essence, it kind of benefited us because when the banks were bailed out, maybe to the detriment of the rest of the country, we did benefit. It softened the impact of the Great Recession on us, although we're feeling a lingering effect even now.
We just have 30 seconds, but this is a big regional, maybe national issue.
Right.
All these municipal budgets, county budgets, and everything coming due right now in this ongoing crunch for 4 years.
Right, right. What's happening is the country's coming apart from Main Street to State Street, and the bipartisan dysfunction in Washington, mugging for the cameras, is missing it entirely. The Pew Center for States, which is a fabulous organization, came out with a study earlier this month that shows there's a gap of some 1.3 to 1.4 $1 trillion between what states have in terms of liabilities for meeting their commitments to their employees and their retiree health care costs and what they have in terms of assets on hand. And no one, and the states have been trying as best they can, but this is a national issue, and it could take us down for a second dip because of the inattention of the national government.
Let's hope not, but we will be watching, and certainly with WNYC political and investigations reporter Bob Henley. Bob, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
You do know, Bob, by the way, that it's congressional primary day in New York State, right?
Yes, indeed.
And later in the show, we're going to open up the phones for our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific exit poll. But first, we will preview Sunday's election. It's a presidential election in Mexico. And guess what? Mexican New Yorkers can vote. So we will preview the presidential election in Mexico and take calls from Mexican Americans. Stay with us.